Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for visiting our sponsors and supporters. Hope you're having a great week. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Now we got to figure out where we're going to go. I think we're going to stay with inside the state, with inside this recent election. Kim.
Well, I wanted to talk about the Phil Berger, Sam Page contest in Rockingham County. What makes this impactful to all of us is that Berger has been the Senate leader for the last, I don't even know how many years, but he's been in the Senate in North Carolina for 25 years. If this isn't a call for term limits, I don't know what is. But he's in extreme power in his position. He lost the race by 23 votes, and as authorized by law, he has asked for a recount, which is fine. However, there is a lot of influence that comes with his power and his position. A lot of the state auditor's connections with the election integrity has connections, people, friends of Berger are also friends of Bolick's, and there are some staff members in the auditor's office who used to work for Phil Berger. So there's some
cross-contamination.
Right. And in addition to that, if this ends up in the court system, Phil Berger's son is on the Supreme Court. Now, I'm not alleging that there would be misconduct, but I keep thinking about Georgia and going to bed with Trump ahead over 200,000 votes or whatever that crazy number was, and then he lost. And I'm thinking we're only looking at 23 votes, and I just don't trust the election integrity of a recount when you've got somebody with that much power and that much influence.
And those connections.
And those connections. And then today he had requested a specific recount of specific votes because in a couple counties there were overvotes and undervotes that was enough to make the difference of that 23 votes. And so that was going to court, and it just came up on the news today that a state election officials have rejected the request of the Senate leader, Phil Berger, to use new rules in the recount for 220 specific ballots. So here again, how would he have knowledge, he being Phil Berger, of specific ballots? How would anybody get information on a specific ballot?
Yeah.
So I just don't feel good about the recount, and I think he should graciously bow out and let Sam Page take the position.
Well, the thing that is disturbing about Phil Berger to me is his close connection with the gambling interests and trying to push through the casinos when nobody was looking. And I'll be very honest, I don't trust the man, and I would like to get him out of leadership.
Correct. And here again, all of us need to follow the money. If we look at what happened with campaign finance, and I still think that that's the reason we have all the corruption that we do is because people are bought and paid for, and they owe favors to. And that's why would you spend $10 to $12 million on a job that pays less than $30,000 a year? Mm-hmm. Why would you do that?
Power. Power.
Exactly.
Power. But it's not really their money per se, because donors put it in. But it's still money
power
spent.
And perks.
But it's also not money from the people they're supposed to represent.
And the people in Rockingham County, by more than 60%, rejected him as the as their representative. But Gulford County went the opposite way. They went more for for Berger than Page.
Well, I want to go back to your comment about lobbyists. CCTA has made many trips to the State House to talk to our legislatures for various issues. We were there for abortion. We were there for Shrimpgate. We've been there for other fishing issues. And we're there as citizens. And you can't help but notice the guys walking around with the $1,000 shoes and the $2,000 suits that are going in and out of the offices. And they're the lobbyists.
Right.
And they're making campaign donations. They're doing perks. They're doing, and unfortunately, their money talks louder than our voices.
And the campaign finance is my, if I had to say what my biggest issue with all politics, it does, and this is not a party specific, this is all politics, is the money. When we have money coming in from out of state, not just out of district, but out of state to influence who our candidates are, it's sickening.
Mm-hmm.
If you look, even in our era, we had the situation in the North Carolina Senate race between Michael Speciale and Bob Brinson, and all the money that came from Raleigh in support of Bob Brinson.
Yes.
Because Phil Berger did not want Michael in the Senate. He knew Michael was not going to be a go-along to get-along, and he had, because he was familiar with Mike's history in the House.
Yeah.
And part of the problem, I think, Kim, and I agree with you, there's a lot of concern I have about just the amount of money being spent on these elections. And it really puts the politician in a difficult position. For example, if you have to run every 2 years, you have to immediately be raising money. And I understand that it would be nice if you could get all your money from your local constituents, but that's very difficult to do. And so it does make it vulnerable. I mean, what are they talking about, like with the Senate race coming up? $100 million they're going to spend on a Senate race?
And possibly a billion.
I mean, numbers are just out of control, in my opinion. And
I heard yesterday they were spending $50 million on the race to replace Dick Durbin.
Well, I want to know who represents.
I'd like to see him replaced, but
Well, he retired, so okay. He's getting replaced no matter what.
Well, I want to know who represents we the people, because in any level of government, it seems like once you're in there, you're all covering each other's behind sides. I almost said a bad word. Behind sides instead of the people that you represent. And it's a game, and it really is a game. I'll vote for your bill if you vote for my bill. Or I'm supporting so-and-so in Craven County, but I'm only allowed to give $2,000. But if you give $2,000, I'll give you $2,000 back so it won't deplete your fund. You know, all this shenanigans that goes on behind the scenes. Who is representing the people?
Well, the only thing I think you can hope for is that the individual voters have enough intelligence that they look into a race and they decide the individual that has the values that represent what they believe. Because a lot of these ads, I mean, they spend a lot of money, but a lot of these ads become so repetitive. I'm not sure they do much good. I mean, it must help some, but it wouldn't be spending all this money. But
repetition,
it gets to the point where
party.
It's just obnoxious. People just shut it off. I know I do. I shut it off. You get these phone calls from so-and-so. But it's excessive how much money.
As a population, we're lazy. And I'm sure that you got people that called you and said, who should I vote for?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, yeah.
Because they don't want to do their own homework. And because, you know, you said you hope that the general population was intelligent enough. We're lazy. They are not. When you look back at, okay, this last race, Senator Tillis's emptying seat with Lori Buckhout and Asa Buck. No, that was House.
That was Michael Whatley and Don Brown.
Oh, what? You know, anyway, I want to talk about the Asa Buck, Lori Buckhout, whatever that race was.
Okay.
And I get it all.
That was District 1 for the U.S. House.
I had District 1 right. Anyway, Lori Buckhout claimed that she was endorsed by President Trump, and Asa Buck went on every chance he got to say that that wasn't so.
Mm-hmm.
Lori Buckhout had more money and influence than Asa Buck did, and she won the race. So,
but we don't know. But Kim, but you don't know that she won the race because she had more money. She may have won it because people liked her better. I don't think we should assume that just because the person raises more money that they necessarily are not as good a candidate.
That wasn't my argument. We were talking about the intelligence of the voter, and I'm saying that when you see it on TV, endorsed by President Trump, people believed it.
Well, that's why Whatley got, what, 60%?
Yes.
Because he was endorsed by Trump. So I think the lesson of that primary was Trump's endorsements carry weight.
Absolutely. In North Carolina.
Yeah, period.
Even though she actually technically was not, most people assumed that she was because of the way her ads were worded. That was very deceptive, and that really bothers me.
Fooled me.
Yeah, that bothers me, but she is the candidate.
And we can't endorse anybody, but we will support conservative policies.
Yes.
Another thing I want to mention about Berger, State Senator Berger, that's having this recount, is that there are some Republicans that are unhappy with him because he supported or endorsed a Democrat candidate for, I believe it was a district judge, perhaps.
Yes.
So there was a little concern about that, too. So he might have some repercussions from that, regardless of, you know, how the count goes. I don't know.
Well, I still am worried about it because his connections. I was reading this article on WITN that came out today, and it's continuing to say that Berger could go on to sue and convince the election judge to take up his request. And he's also filed legal protests over 13 ballots. Here again, how does any candidate know any specific details on any ballot?
That's a very good question.
And who would you ask? Who would you ask that question of?
I just don't, because I don't know. Does some election official come to you and say, "Hey, look at
these"? Yeah,
exactly. How do you pick out 13 ballots?
Well, maybe
a candidate. That's a question for the Board of Elections.
Yeah, maybe a candidate has a right to ask certain questions like that, and he may be sophisticated enough, or his people who are helping him in the elections, to say, "Well, here are some potential problems. Let's see if there was any of that." I'm not sure it's underhanded, but it takes somebody that's got a lot of experience to know what to ask for.
Yeah, to they have the knowledge to dig underneath where normal people wouldn't look for information.
And to differentiate that between the Jefferson Griffin race, the court race that they sued over last time, that was over voter registrations. That was generally public knowledge, not an individual issue.
Yes.
Okay. Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, where did you want to take us?
There's a report out at Just the News that in 2020, the intelligence community hid evidence from President Trump about Chinese influence efforts on the 2020 election because they didn't like President Trump, so they just didn't tell him. And the information came up because there was a review of Russian versus Chinese meddling efforts during the election. And again, the article says the intelligence analysts downplayed China's actions because they didn't like Trump. So we know that China interfered in 2020, and we got Joe Biden.
Interfered in what way?
Voter registrations, voter fake driver's licenses, and I guess a lot of people voted that probably weren't Americans because the Chinese gave them fake driver's licenses and pulled them out of voting.
There's an article out today that Iran hacked Alaska's voter ID base, and they stole their names, their driver's license, their social security number, and then they created ballots that are used by people overseas who are not military.
Oh.
And voted them. Now, they said it was 10,000 votes or 100,000 votes. I forget. Maybe it was 100,000. I don't know. I don't remember. But then when we took Maduro, there was some indication that with Smartmatic,
yes,
that some interference had come from Venezuela through Act Blue, which is a Democrat funding
Act Blue has a problem that they're getting donations from people who never donated to them.
Well, Act Blue is getting donations from overseas, which is illegal. The FBI just grabbed Maricopa County's ballots.
Yes.
And then we've got the ballots down in Georgia. So for people that were getting kicked off YouTube and Facebook and whatever for saying the election was stolen, the evidence becomes increasingly clear that when Chris Krebs, whatever his name was, who's the head of the Cybersecurity and Election Security Office, said this was the most secure election in U.S. history, that he was blowing smoke. And he and Chris Wray, the director, yes, of the FBI, were just flat out lying to us.
Well, I want to go back to Act Blue for a minute, because somebody did an investigation a few years ago where they went to people who had donated, say, $100 to Act Blue.
Oh, it's called Smurfs.
Yes.
Smurfs, smurfing.
Yeah, and these people had not donated anything to Act Blue. Their names were put there with donations, probably from overseas and other places that, you know,
allowable amounts.
Yes.
Small amounts, mm-hmm, but then their name would be listed, you know, like 100 times. And you could go through there, and I've seen it where they've highlighted, you know, a big chunk of the same person's name. And it's an elderly person, and in some cases, they've gone to their home and said, did you make these donations? No, I don't know anything about them.
But again, we have the evidence. I'm waiting for more to come out with Venezuela. We have the evidence. We haven't seen an orange jumpsuit yet. That's frustrating.
My problem with some of these articles and things are when we say the intelligence community, who? At what level is this a peon who neglected to report up the ladder, or is this the top telling the peons, don't tell the president? I mean, there is ultimately somebody responsible.
Yes.
And a lot of this that we're talking about now just reiterates my concern about how the elections have expanded from elections on election day and having ballots, written ballots. And now we have, you know, they went to all these mail-in ballots and sending this all and electronic counting and scanning and all this other stuff, all of which is subject to electronic infiltration and somebody either from outside the country or within the country doing something to make it unreliable. And it's and that's why, you know, early voting. I mean, why do we have to have 2 weeks of early voting? Get the people who are interested, make election on one day, make it a national holiday if you have to, open, and shut the schools down, have schools to be and have it counted.
I agree.
Have it in place like we used to. We didn't have all these issues, and it's getting so complicated. It's getting more and more difficult to verify.
Now, as an election judge, and I've worked early voting as well as election day, we are always told that our computers are not connected to the internet, so they're supposedly safe from infiltration or hacking. However, I don't know how it works, but at early voting, somehow downtown knows how many people we've had at each individual computer, or if you forgot to make your phone call at what time, it's known. So there is some way that even though it might not be internet through...
It might be a closed network.
Exactly. So there is a way that things could be hacked. And what we don't know is if some of the software is pre-programmed for some of this information as well, like maybe what Pat was indicating with Iran earlier. It's what we don't know, and I totally support going back to paper ballots, like you said. And now I don't think one day would do it anymore.
But, why not?
But well, just because of maybe shift workers, you know, people that work at night that might not.
Polls close at what, 7?
Yeah.
Period. Whether you work the night shift or not.
Yeah, but somebody may have a job, that a trucking job.
I would be willing
Then they can't vote. I'm sorry. You can't make any little exception. This is what creates this kind of quagmire, because people bring up, well, this person or that person. So they try to make it so general, include everybody, and they wind up making it too vulnerable.
Because you can't disenfranchise anybody.
Can't guarantee that everybody can be.
If you don't go vote during the days that are voting is allowed, you've disenfranchised yourself.
So yeah. what about if you don't vote in the primary, you don't get to vote in the general? What if you didn't vote in the general, you don't get to vote in the runoff? I mean, I think there are so many other ways that even the people that vote are impacted, not the ones that don't bother to go vote.
Well, I think we have to look at, for example, the SAVE Act, okay?
Save America.
Save America Act, thank you. Okay, and who's opposing it? The Democrats, vehemently opposing it.
And lying about it.
And lying about opposing it or whatever, you know. And the polls show like 86% or 90% of the people, both Democrats and Republicans, agree that you should have a photo ID and you should prove you're a citizen before you can vote. It's so reasonable. And yet the entire Senate is opposing it on the Democrat side.
And, except for John Fetterman.
Well, last night, Fetterman said he was coming out against some of the latest things on the Save America Act because they've added in things, which I think is wrong. This needs to be a clean bill. And because according to what John Fetterman said last night, it's gone into transgender surgeries and all kinds of other stuff that shouldn't be in this bill.
Yeah. No, they should.
That's all trying to torpedo it.
That's trying to put in a poison pill.
Who put it in?
Democrats.
No, it wasn't.
Who?
The Republicans put in the transgender stuff. Yes, they did, to stop it. Yes, they did.
Who?
I don't know. But that's what was on
Yeah, I know they. I know they have added to it, and that wasn't smart.
Well,
but you got to wonder why. What would the SAVE Act stop that they're afraid to let it pass?
Cheating.
Right.
So the cheating's on both sides.
Yes.
The Republicans were the ones that added the poison pill.
I wouldn't say the cheating's on both sides. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that there's evidence of that. I think that, you know, potentially it could be both sides, but the evidence, the things you talked about earlier, it's on the Democrat side. They want all these mail-in ballots. They want they're opposed
drop
to
drop boxes.
Day registration.
Yes, yeah. I don't believe it's a both side issue, but I think that what they're trying to do with this SAVE Act, my understanding is they are trying to invoke the filibuster to the extent that they want to make the Democrats stand up and speak, and they have to do that if they actually are required to speak to filibuster. They have a habit of recently, they just say, well, we're going to filibuster it, so they just cave in. But now there's an effort being made to actually make the Democrats stand up and talk about it and hopefully justify to the American people why they're opposed to it. Here they can be opposed to it, and they don't have to explain it to the voters.
And each Democrat gets to speak twice.
And I read an interesting article today that said if the Dems don't manage who's speaking and when, if they don't go up there, and there's ever a time when there's no Democrat speaking, the Republicans can just jump in there and call for a vote, and it'll only take 51 votes to pass it.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah, that would be good.
But I don't like the poison pills added to it, and I do believe they are poison pills. I mean, that needs to be a straight up and down. You have to prove you're a citizen to vote, and this idea that married women can't prove they're citizens is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Mary, this goes back to what we've talked about many times, is the length of these bills. Where they keep adding to. If you look at our founding documents and how many pages they were compared to some of these 1,000-page things that
look at Supreme Court opinions. They used to be a few pages. Now they're, 140 pages because every single justice has to write partially concurring, partially dissenting, concurring. You can't, it's like, I concur, but I want everybody to know why I concur.
Well, it's like Pelosi said. I mean, you talk about how certain people are opposed to, clarity. She said, you have to vote for it, pass it, to find out what's in it.
Well, remember.
To add to that, too, the income tax now, I think, is about 4 feet high.
Yeah.
So we don't, brevity is not part of Congress's.
And they say it's because of time that they put multiple things in together to get it all done at once.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Congress doesn't have any wit.
Okay, folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters, and welcome back. And Alan, where were you going to take us?
Well, I think we could just have a general discussion about, I think, a topic that's most important to the country right now, and that's this war with Iran and where it's heading. And I think there's a couple important things. One of the things that I think Iran has done that has probably been a bad idea from their perspective, not that I want them to do anything good, but they started attacking other countries in the Middle East, and Saudi Arabia, Qatar, well, I can't name them all, but and they started attacking them. And those were a lot of those countries were countries that actually have been kind of sitting on the side, letting Iran do its terrorist thing. They were just going, well, if you don't attack me, we'll leave you alone.
Using restraint.
And now they're finding what Iran really means. And these people, these Democrats and these other people coming out against what Trump's doing and saying, well, there's no imminent threat. There was no imminent threat. Well, what are you going to do? Wait until the rocket's been launched with a nuclear weapon at your country? Is it imminent at that point? What does imminent mean? When you have a country who's going around consistently saying death to America, death to America, and they're building the ability to attack us anytime they want, that to me is a country that needs to be stopped. And, you know, how many, you just look back in history. They didn't do that with Hitler. But what did Hitler do? He just went on and he did what he wanted. And so.
Well, we knew appeasement was not the answer.
Appeasement was never the answer.
We've been appeasing them for 47 years.
Now we have been, yes.
Yes, we have. And we've let them poke us for 47 years.
Right.
And if Jimmy Carter had not been president when they took our hostages from the embassy, we could have stopped this a long time ago. That's my opinion. And as a military person, watching them blow up the Marines and, you know, blow this up and take our, they took some of our guys hostage at sea and made them get on their knees and give statements. And, you know, they've just done everything they can to humiliate us. And then we have presidents stupid enough, like Biden and Obama, to give them mounds of cash on their promise that they will give us a pinky swear that they won't make an atomic bomb. If that's called diplomacy, then I volunteer, because I'm as well qualified as anybody to ask for that kind of diplomatic action. I, for one, am glad that we finally just kicked the crap out of them.
I agree.
There is information that has come out that Jimmy Carter actually encouraged the Iranian Revolution and bringing Khomeini back, because he thought Khomeini would be like Mahatma Gandhi and just be this wonderful, principled, religious leader.
More proof that Carter didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground.
You said a bad word.
Ass is not a bad word.
It's a donkey. It's a name for a donkey.
That's right.
You know, I think probably one of the things that we've noticed is that when Iran has been reaching out with their missiles, they're going after civilian sites. They're not going after military sites.
Right. They're going after infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
And they also, in one of their missiles that was the Israelis managed to shoot down, but the debris landed on the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is somewhat tacky.
Well, and, you know, the problem, I guess, for us now is the fact that all of this oil, this 20% of the world's oil going through the Straits of Hormuz, is a problem. And it's a problem for a number of different reasons, not the least of which is that with these inexpensive weapons like drones, and now they're concerned about these mines. Apparently they have mines that can be set in the channel, and it's pretty narrow. I think the channel is only like 6 miles wide, although the strait might be 21 miles. I think the area that the ships go through is only like 6 miles wide. And the problem is that these mines can be set by small boats. They don't take warships to plant them. And some of these mines, I understand the way they're configured, the mine sinks to the bottom. And then when the ship goes by, it is somehow activated by the fact that this steel object over it, and it sends itself and strikes the ship. That it's not like years ago, you think of a mine as something floating on the surface that they have mine sweepers that would go through. Now it's much more of a challenge to eradicate them. But therein lies the problem. And if, you know, if Iran decides they don't care about the oil that they're selling, and they close it down completely with all these mines, it's going to be a challenge to do something about it.
But this is where American energy independence comes into play, because OPEC does not have the sway that it had in the 70s when we had gas lines and ridiculousness. And NATO gets a lot of its oil going through the Strait of Hormuz, and NATO has not stepped up to the plate to help keep the strait clear.
Is Russia's gas going through the Strait of Hormuz?
What about China?
China's gas goes through. I think China and Russia have been able to get their ships through.
Very few ships have gone through, though.
Right, but I think the gas and oil from Russia goes straight from Russia to Europe.
Yeah.
It doesn't go through the strait.
And that may be why Europe is reluctant to help, because if they come to the aid of NATO, if they decide to help clear the straits, is Russia going to shut off their oil?
Russia can't afford to shut off their oil because that's their main source of income for the country.
And, you know, Trump became, you know, you got to give Trump credit. He came out and announced the other day that he was issuing or instituted an insurance fund, $20 billion.
Yes.
The purpose of it is to counteract what Lloyd's of London is. The Lloyd's of London is one of the biggest ship insurers in the world. And they stopped insuring these tankers going through the Straits of Hormuz because they were afraid they would be attacked. And so Trump has come up with this idea, which I think is, you know, very creative. And some people say, well, some of the big shippers and NS, they're not going to take that risk. But I was reading in an article today, we're talking about a lot of the smaller organizations that run these tankers, and they might have like 5 to 10 tankers, especially from Greece. Apparently, there's companies in Greece that do that, might be willing to take that risk because of the payoff, because the price of oil has gone up so much. Oil that they were shipping for X amount of dollars before, now they're going to get triple X amount of dollars.
But it would have to be done off the books, because if you don't have insurance, no berth can accept you.
No, but the point is Trump has this insurance process that he's putting in place that would allow them.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Greek boats, though. It doesn't do them any good to ship if they don't have insurance.
Well, if they're willing to take the risk, you can ship without insurance. The problem is you don't want to take that risk.
And no, you can't ship because you don't have anywhere to unload it. They won't accept you unless you have.
Well,
unless,
in this article, they said they could.
Unless you can gain insurance somewhere mid-ocean, say, okay, now I'm free of the European.
Well, you know, Trump got all the blame for the Straits shutting down because our media didn't explain that it was the London insurance.
Lloyd's
of London that just said, we're not insuring anybody, and everything just froze. Because the press doesn't do us any good.
You know,
blame it on Trump, and everybody goes, well, of course, he started bombing, so it's all his fault.
Maybe lesson learned to the United States should be we need to quit being the world's police and start protecting our own. How many times have we been called to be an ally to other countries at our own expense? And I think maybe at some point Trump's going to have to use the ultimatum and say, hey, you know, remember when? And next time this? No.
Well, I think this whole Iran thing now with the Straits of Hormuz has shown a spotlight on the ties of NATO. Because when he asked for help, everybody said no. And
right. And
during his first term, he told Europe, quit buying Russian gas. You want me to defend you from Russia while you're enabling their economy by buying their gas. Does this make sense to anybody? They're still buying their gas.
Yeah, so, and in cases like Germany, they're so desperate because they bought into the solar and wind energy
net zero.
Hoax. Now they don't have the price of fuel, and they don't have enough fuel to operate their own industries.
You know, the other curiosity, if you look at what we're talking about with Iran, with the Straits of Hormuz and NATO, when was the last time you heard about the Ukraine? That silence is deafening.
Mm. Zelensky is offering to send Ukrainian technicians to help build interceptors or launchers.
It's part of a negotiation. He wants something back for that.
Right.
Like he hasn't already gotten a lot.
Yeah.
The UAE, the United Arab Emirates, when we were talking about people beyond Israel and the United States being targeted, when I saw numbers on that, it was like they had been, that area had been hit three times as much as Israel. I mean, it's not like there's a few random bombs or drones going off.
And they're using restraint.
Iran is targeting them
in
a big way.
I think their idea is if we're going down, we're taking everybody with us.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the issues about this Karg Island. You know, that Karg Island is one of the major places where they produce this oil. They
transfer it.
And then they load it and so on and so forth. And Trump has been reluctant to take out the refineries. He has attacked on that island some of the defenses and so on, but he's been reluctant to destroy their processing there and their refinement because he doesn't want to make Iran
destitute
if, in fact, they get a new regime. He wants the country to be able to function. I think, I'll make a prediction. They're going to go in and take over that island. They're going to man that island with American troops.
Well, I think they're
be able to stop Iran from using it, but not having to destroy it.
I think the Israelis have already bombed it. I'm not sure what's left.
No.
They have not bombed the refinery. They bombed the defenses of the island.
You look at a picture of the island, the big tanks are all still sitting there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to take us in a...
Yeah, this is an ongoing issue, and I know we've talked about it before, but it's something that we need to be aware of at all times, in my opinion, and that is the degree to which the Muslim community, the Islamist communities in coming into this country have no intention of assimilating. They do not share the values and principles and so on of Western civilization and the Judeo-Christian traditions that founded this country. And they make no bones about it. I mean, they have these, as we've said before, they have these enclaves in Europe. And now we see what's going on in New York City. A call to prayer, loudspeaker announcements in the streets.
Get rid of your dogs.
And we need to do something about it. And one of the things that I would recommend is we go back to having restrictions on which country that we admit people from, both legal and illegal immigrants. I'm not talking about just illegal immigrants. And that was the case until 1965 when Ted Kennedy and I think there was a senator by the name of Hart was a Democrat. They did away with the number. We used to have a protocol of how many we would accept from which countries. And, you know, Trump did that in his first term. There were certain countries. He said, we're not having any more immigrants. We need to go back to that. And, you know, we don't need all this Dearborn, these other places being overrun with Somalia. And there are things we can do, and we need to do them, and we need to face up to it. And so that's my
point.
Good luck
on that.
Well, I think... I think
that there's people that are starting to see the problem.
You have to deal with it using politicians, and they're too spineless, because the minute somebody yells bigot, they run for cover.
They roll over.
Well, I was unaware until yesterday that there's a Muslim... I don't even know what to call it. It's not a church. It's like a community outreach center.
It's a mosque that they're calling something besides a mosque.
Here in New Bern.
Yes.
I did not realize that we had that many people that would support, you know, be enough people to support a facility.
You don't need that many people to support a facility because you have the Islamic Society of North America that will fund whatever, you know, if they see a place that they consider ripe for bringing their influence in, they will fund it.
And here, the caution in my mind, again, is your homegrown terrorist, your sleeper cell people. Mm-hmm. On Clay and Buck today, there was audio from a cleric, a Muslim cleric in Dearborn, Michigan, Alan, talking about the infidels and rising up and you know, this is somebody in our country who was talking about rising up against this country.
They talk about that in all the mosques because it's in the Quran.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that we're putting into a resolution that's going to come up before the Craven County Republican Convention is Saturday. In fact, today when the show is being broadcast. And that is that people who come from these Islamic countries, they have to renounce Sharia law. And they have to swear to uphold the American Constitution. And if they're not willing to do that, then you don't admit them.
How are you going to get past the First Amendment?
The First Amendment doesn't guarantee that you can swear to
freedom of religion.
It's freedom of religion, but it's not freedom of to come and to be in favor of a policy or a practice that's anti-American.
I think we can learn from the Italian prime minister when an imam in a mosque made the comment that kill the infidels, etc. She simply deported him. That was her reaction. We need people in our states and our cities to call attention to these people. If someone says kill the infidel, okay, that's a threat.
What if that person is a citizen? I don't know if the person that I heard
probably
the audio
is a
from.
Citizen. If they're a citizen, I think isn't Pat? You're the lawyer. You would know this. Is making a threat criminal?
It depends on whether or not there's any possibility of actually carrying it out. Otherwise, it's free speech.
Okay.
Well, there's plenty of opportunity. They take it all the time. How about that when they had his Islamist drove his truck through the door of a
synagogue.
Jewish temple
filled with explosives, synagogue.
And fortunately it didn't go off. He could have destroyed the whole thing. When's the last time you heard of a Jewish person driving his car or his truck through the gates of a mosque? Doesn't happen. I mean, we just have to face reality that these people do not care about life, and they are determined to make America into an Islamic country.
But my understanding, and I hate to paint with such a broad brush, but and I may be naive, but I thought that there was a difference between the religion and the politics of...
No. Islam is a political system. It incorporates economics, politics, religion, every aspect of the Muslim life
so
is covered in Islam.
If you are a Muslim, you are saying death to America as a statute.
Well, might not be saying death to America, but your allegiance is going to be to Islam. It's not going to be to America.
We are pretending that there's a difference between Muslims, that there's Islamists, and then there's somehow the peaceful Muslim. The peaceful Muslim is under the Quran. And it's in the Quran where it says, kill the infidels, beleaguer them, wherever you find them, kill them.
Well, I was just wondering if it would be like Catholic-like.
No, no.
You know, just, you know.
That's
no.
Why freedom of religion, I don't believe, is the something that will stop this, because I think that the reality of it is that this swearing and their belief in Sharia law is a threat to our country.
Well, there's
and that's what we have to differentiate it.
There's
freedom
another
of religion
part.
Is one thing, but if that religion, part of the principle of that religion is the destruction of your country, that's not. I don't think the founding fathers would have concluded this as freedom of religion.
But what about what Pat said about what if this person is a citizen? You can't deport that person.
Yes, you can't. They're naturalized. You take away the citizenship.
Them. Okay.
But I would also add, there are nominal Christians, they're nominal Jews, they're nominal Muslims that have no idea what the Quran says.
Yes.
What?
There are. But I want to
How
point
many do
out
you know?
Something. I want to point out something that's an example of what we're talking about. In New York City, which now has a Muslim mayor, anti-Semitic crimes increased 182% in January.
Must so be some what, of those peaceful Muslims. There's
so what is the but wait a minute. So what is the response of the New York City Police Department? They have changed the way they investigate the crimes. So what they're doing now is they're not reporting the crime until after it's thoroughly investigated. And that way they can spread them out and make it look like the number of hate crimes has gone down.
And do they say who is committing the hate crimes?
Well, you have to investigate somebody.
Right, but is it, you know, like is it black people against the Muslims or Spanish people against the Muslims?
No, it's anti-Semitic. It's against the Jews.
I'm using the whole thing as a...
Okay.
You know, we talk about who's against who. So if it's against Jews, who is it against the Jews? The Muslims, the Christians, the... I mean, if it's targeted...
Lefties.
But why? I mean, I just don't get why.
Well, part of the thing is that Mamdani has encouraged anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, anti-Semitic rhetoric. So he has planted the seeds for the hate crimes. So they're coming from his supporters, whoever his supporters may be. And understand, too, that New York City now, 30% of the population of New York City is not native-born.
Well, yeah, you said that last week, but I've only been to New York once, and it was 25 years ago, so I can't.
It's another reason to cut them loose.
Yeah, but I just can't imagine that they elected this person.
Well, my point remains. You said our citizenry is stupid and lazy. Hello.
And you also have a lot of the younger voters supported him because of what they've been taught in college. They've been taught that socialism is a good thing. And they're not necessarily paying attention to the fact that this person who is preaching socialism is living in a rent-controlled apartment while being a millionaire. So he's not even practicing what he's preaching.
And the ones treating you, again, preaching socialism and for all of the teenagers, they all have the best of phones, the best of sneakers, the best of everything.
I mean, look at Bernie Sanders. How many houses does he own?
Three.
He claims to be a socialist.
But the irony of it in politics is blinding to me. How many Jewish Chuck Schumer people do we have?
Yeah.
The Jews voted for Mamdani. He took the majority of the Jewish vote in New York.
Because he told them he would be good.
Wow. I mean,
and we get free stuff.
If you can't even vote for your own self-interest, what is there to say?
Like we talked about in the beginning of the show, voters need to educate themselves.
Well, it's the oldest dodge in the book when you tell somebody that has less than, I'm going to take his and give it to you, I'm voting for it.
And I hate it, but I think the biggest part of that started when President Obama got elected, because the race stuff wasn't working so well. Mm-hmm. And he took it to an economic thing and then brought it back to the race thing.
Well, mm-hmm. Actually, the economic thing has always been part of the Marxist communist movement in America.
But so in my, I'm
he,
speaking about my
he
lifetime.
Was a socialist, he made it prominent. It came kind of out of the dark, because remember he had what, the night He's, before he the day he announced for office, he was having dinner with the socialists, the DSA.
But I'm talking about
standardized. Me. He standardized the socialism.
But in my lifetime, I didn't remember the race relations being as tense until after President Obama came in.
Yes.
And when my kids were in high school and they graduated in 99 and 2001, they both had black friends.
Yeah.
So I just don't remember the race tensions being as high as they are now.
No, and the invoking of the Alinsky's rules in
yes.
every action that was taken.
I think you're looking at the past with blinders on, because, you know, Watts riots, the L.A. riots.
But that was the 60s.
Yeah, and that hasn't gone away. We still have black Israelites in New York, right?
Yeah.
We still have the who are the black guys that are all...
The Black Panthers.
The Black
Panthers. The new Black Panthers.
Yeah.
As opposed to the old Black Panthers.
Yeah.
On that, I think we're going to wrap up the show. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call. We'll be back next week.